Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's called soccer.
It's called football.
Soccer.
Football.
Domino's best deal ever lets you get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99.
Okay, we can agree on that.
Yeah, fully.
So, pineapple? Don't ruin it. Get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99. Finally, something everyone can get behind.
And if the rest disagree, that's between them and Domino's. Which means the only thing left to fight over is who's ordering.
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6:15 to 7:26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
I just took one glance at you.
Oh,
and like, are you wearing lip plumper?
No.
Did you get something done with your lips?
No.
Oh, they're looking like extra juicy today.
What?
Doesn't his lip? Did you put on like chapstick?
I put on chapstick yesterday because we're filming.
That's some good chapstick if it's lasting that long.
I showered though.
Maybe your beard just looks really trim over your lips and stuff.
Wait, what?
Your lips just look like a little plump.
Did you trim your beard this morning?
They look very normal. No, I mean I trimmed my beard and shit yesterday because we're shooting.
Okay.
Morning, but
maybe, I don't know.
There's nothing different
Matt,
about my
he's
lips.
Showing a little bit of upper lip. That's what it is.
Yeah, a little upper lip.
I think it's always trimmed.
I guess so.
Well,
I'm
not most of the time. Like half the time it's trimmed.
I'm not making fun or anything,
no,
but I was just like, are you on like another little
I guess you just see more of my lip today.
Okay. I've always wanted to try those like lip plumpers.
No, you don't.
No?
They hurt.
They do.
I mean, I personally don't like the feeling of them.
You have great lips.
Yeah, no, you do. You have like thick, like lips.
Yeah, you got some juicies, Jared. Yeah.
No, but I've had like friends or girlfriends in the past put their lip plumper on me.
Oh.
And just because like they're like, oh, I want to see what it does. And it stings.
There's a bit of snake venom in it, right?
There's
what?
Something in it.
Or it's like, something like that.
It's oil or something.
Yeah. It's, but like, I'm not surprised that it like stings because again, I feel like girls, like they're down to go through pain if it makes them look
better.
Yeah,
they like, want to know it's working.
Yeah.
But like, can you put lip plumper on every day? That seems like something you should just do on the weekends.
I don't think girls are doing plumper every... I think it's like when they're going out, like events.
Just a little plump.
Yeah, I don't think like girls are doing every day. If they're going to school, class, like work, I don't see girls... taking the time to plump their lips.
Girls, comment below. How often are we plumping?
Because I know they do that. And even the lip, you know, like the lip tint, like with the...
Yeah.
Because I've seen that before. They're not doing that all the time. I think it's just like certain events. If they're like, you know, full glam, they look nice. They want to...
Oh, Jared did pull up the ingredients. There's bee venom.
Bee venom.
But it's used in some extreme formulas to trigger your body's immune system.
That's why bees, that's why they always buzz around girls first.
Probably.
Because they smell something very familiar.
You're onto something.
I smell my booty on her lips. I smell booty juice.
How do you get rid of a bee? Do you have like a hack?
I honestly try not to like... I think just staying still and don't bother them. And I just don't think they'll bother you. Like
I snap. I heard snapping helps.
That's squirrels.
Makes squirrels go away?
That's a baby when you push them in the pool.
Oh, yeah. Right here. Look up here.
Yeah, when you push a baby in the pool to see to teach them
look
how to float.
Up here.
Yeah, like that.
Oh, maybe it only works for wasps, not bees. But if you click your fingers, it will make wasps fly. This is just on Reddit.
Towards you.
Oh, if you what? Yeah, apparently, though, it like emits kind of like this sonic boom frequency and makes them like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
To me, it's so weird that bees like will go and it stings somebody with no provocation.
Provocation.
Without being provoked. I think that's crazy because like I've never been stung by a bee unless I provoked it.
I've never been stung by a bee.
You've never?
No, but I think maybe I have and I didn't know because I feel like at this age.
No,
I would,
you would know.
I would know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would know. Fun fact I learned about bugs and why they're like attracted to light. It's because that's how they orient themselves.
Right.
So they know that like the sun during the day is like that's up. And so if you have like porch lights and stuff, they think it's daytime, but that's how they keep themselves right side up.
Oh, I thought it was like crack for them. I thought light was literally like a drug. They're
give
like,
me that
oh,
light. Give me
that.
Yeah,
no,
that big light. I want it.
I honestly thought I did not think about the sun, which is like literally common sense. I feel like yeah. Really, it's just like, oh, obviously the sun.
Yeah, no, they're just fucking blind. And so they're like, oh, well I have to, it's dark and I have to like stay right side up when I fly.
But like when electricity came around, bugs had to have been just like, yo, yeah. Get this. There's these bulbs that come out at night. I can't get enough of them. But fire, they stay away from fire, right?
They stay away from fire. I think probably because of the heat, but because fire's down low. And so they say, if you want lights outside, put them on the ground and then it keeps the bugs away.
Oh,
yeah,
makes sense.
Really
good point, because yeah, you really don't see like that many bugs on like low lights. It's always like upper lights.
Yeah,
that rocked my world.
All right, well, let's roll into the intro. We have a fun, exciting episode today. I mean, like always, every
we got
episode, so big, right, Heath? So big, the biggest episode of the year. All right, guys.
3, 2, 1. It's coffee time, baby.
Let's fuck it out. Ow! I just got stung. Welcome back to Zane Heath Unfiltered. I'm Zane.
I'm Heath.
I'm Matt.
I'm Jared.
And thank you for being here again on this fine Tuesday and Monday morning on your way to work. If you're working out, if you're doing shit.
Doing laundry.
Yes,
and Saturday morning. Don't forget about the Patreon.
Oh, Saturday morning. Yes, the cousins. And also if you're unemployed and you're just chilling around, fucking welcome.
And if you're watching on Saturday, it's my birthday. Say happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Jared.
Happy birthday, Jared Bear.
Thank you. Thank you.
On Saturday. If you're watching after, you don't need to.
Yeah, what are you doing for your birthday?
I don't know. I might go bowling.
Nice. Okay.
I love bowling.
No, bowling is like, that is like the thing to do for
every
a birthday.
Every time I bowl, I'm like, why don't I do this more often?
Yes.
Like, it's always
I have
just
the
like,
opposite reaction.
I just suck at it. Do you suck at bowling, Heath?
Bro, it's terrible.
I start great and then I get worse as the game goes on. Because I'm like, damn, I'm good. And then it's like gutter ball.
You know what?
The
that
second
is
half.
True. Why is that? Usually you get better as you play and like you just get,
I don't
what
know. Because I think you know what you're doing. And then you're thinking
and then
about
you're like,
it
I'm
too
gonna
much.
I'm going to put some spin on this bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
Nope.
My brother, I wouldn't even consider him a bowler, but he's really good. He doesn't do the normal like fingers. He'll grab that ball and he'll spin that body and do this.
Bang.
Strike every time. But he's not a bowler. He's just really good with a fucking bowling ball
well,
in the pins.
I'd love to do that, but like you got to practice. Like, but you don't want to embarrass yourself at a bowling alley trying to do that. Like I would have to rent out the entire place to myself just to learn how to like get a proper spin or curve on.
Yeah. They still serve like alcohol at bowling alleys, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
Okay, I know they used to do that back then, especially a lot in Florida. I just didn't know if they still did that. Oh,
and I love a bowling alley that has not been updated since like 1986.
Oh, yes.
Like, give me the classic damn seats.
Yes,
and
I want to see them streaks in the bowling
alleys.
And
I want to see animations that look like from my childhood. I don't want to see some new AI type shit. I want to see just split.
I don't know if you saw this like Brandon Calvillo and somebody else, they just did like Alex Ernst.
Yes,
so good. So
they
good.
Did like what a 9/11 animation or something like that.
It's just like super super just dark like out of pocket, but it's just like that's how out of pocket these fucking animations were back
they
then.
They were like the OG Wii Sport people were the bowling alley animations. I feel like
that's yeah.
Wii Sports is coming back though.
Is it
really?
Yeah, Nintendo for the Switch 2 announced that they are doing like it's Wii Sports Island, and I think they got some new stuff, new games.
Why are we calling it?
Because that's where it all goes down. And I think in the original Wii Sports, weren't you on an island? Maybe
like, I think in the future all kids games no island theme.
Good point.
Refrain. No island theme.
No island. It's just like, and that's why I was saying like, why island? We just don't need to do it. Like we shouldn't. Yeah, anything in kids, anything in a kid's world should just not be a reference to an island.
I know they have basketball, which is huge. That's like a new one. I think they have Thumb War, which is kind of silly.
Oh, like with your Wii?
You just, yeah, you're with your little...
Well, I guess it's good
with
for...
With your Switch remote. It's not yeah. a Wii remote.
But. You know, I feel like some kids, they don't have a sense of like, you know, it's hard to see a lot on the screen. Maybe the Thumb War is like easier for yeah. their... Like kids like me. They can't yeah. like right. think, you know, so
I just would like to, I don't game enough. You know, I have a Nintendo Switch, but like, I just don't want to like get this. I would love to go to a party where someone loves it and gets it all set up and is like, here, play.
Yeah.
I hate being like, hold on just a second. Wait, we have to log in. Wait, we have to get your username. Wait, this is your remote. It's yeah. too much fucking shenanigans.
Yeah. And I don't want to calibrate anything either. I feel like every time I try to do something like that, you got to like recalibrate. You got to point at the dots or something.
Well, you just,
and like the remotes are off yeah. and it's just a whole setup.
You just need the candles, Heath. That's all you need. You don't need yeah. just set up the candles, light it up. The only thing that I like set up if I'm like at someone's house is a Nintendo DS for that super that game where you're like these characters and you're all fighting mm-hmm. each other. What is it called? Super Smash Bros.
On yeah. the DS? What are you talking about?
What is it on?
The DS was like the little handheld.
All right. So what am I? You
the
know
Switch?
What I'm talking about?
The Switch. Yeah, okay.
It's not the Switch. It's the fucking
Wii. What?
No, it's the fucking console. Like everybody has a controller and you're playing the game.
It's like a Nintendo 64, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry. Wait. Maybe I sound. Guys, no, I'm but, sorry if I seem yeah, mean to Zane.
Yeah, it was just a little bitchy. Like you feel like you knew what I was talking about.
God, he got the controller wrong. Jeez. Yeah, we knew what he was talking
God.
About.
God. Okay, if you're playing Super Smash, what player are you picking?
I didn't have a favorite. I think I liked Zelda and also the one that you swallow them. And
Kirby.
You poop them out.
Yes, yeah, Kirby. You good. Got all the powers. You just sucked in everybody and then you had their powers. Kirby all fucking ate. And Kirby could fly. You'd be kicked off. You'd be like, I'm coming back, bitch.
And once he swallowed you and pooped you out, you're like, there's no, you can't get out of it unless you like fucking da-da-da-da, and then you got out of it, but you're already down in the fucking hell. And like,
that was one game I was never good at.
With Super Smash?
I would have thought you were amazing.
Yeah, you give big Super Mm-mm. Smash vibes.
Yeah.
No,
especially
no,
if you're a good Halo.
I never had a console that had it, so my only time playing was at a friend's house. And they already had all their fucking moves down, their characters, they knew everything, and I'd just kind of randomly pick something, and I'd be like, all right, well, you know what?
Yeah, like you had to have the pros play against each other. You couldn't just have like people that are just like coming for a good time, just trying to have fun. You have to like separate the two because it's just not fun.
I was like Ness, like the little kid with like the.
Oh, you're such a Ness guy.
Yeah. Kick it fire. Kick it fire.
I feel like you're like literally just like him. Right now.
The hat. I'm such a Ness guy. For
nice
sure.
hat, by the way.
Thank you. Oh, I went to the World Cup, y'all.
Yes, we know. I saw it.
I went to the World Cup.
How was it? As magical as like. Which you game? Would think?
I went to the U.S. versus Paraguay, which is like nice. One of like the opening games yeah. of it. And it was really cool because I'm already going to the quarterfinals later this summer. So we got gifted tickets with the whole deal that we're a part with Dove Men Care. So gifted by Dove Men Care. Thank you so much. And it was dope. It was at SoFi. And I've been to SoFi for, you know, football games. I've been to SoFi for concerts.
Yeah.
I had never been there for a soccer game. And one, I had never been to a game that was just purely for the United States, you know?
Oh, because you're like, yeah, you're like, half the time you're at games that are like the U.S. is not even playing or it's not someone like in your, you're just like watching just like
right.
a random,
I've never
for
been to
games.
The Olympics. This yeah. is just, so it was really cool to see one, the United States collectively root for one team yeah. all together. So that was really awesome. And God, it was crazy the amount of celebrities that were there.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
We, get down, to our seats. We look behind us. So we're kind of like we're like 11 rows up from the pitch, from the field.
Oh, really? Oh my, yes. You're close.
Oh, very close.
Oh, I thought you'd be in like a box or something there.
So the celebrities in the lower boxes, they were behind us. We look behind us. David Beckham.
Shut
David
up.
Beckham wow. in the suit, waving out to everybody. Cause everyone starts standing up and looking backwards. We're like, what's going on? And it's David Beckham, Victoria Beckham, Posh Spice, looking stunning.
It's like us walking through VidCon. That,
yeah, right?
Him at that game is us walking through a YouTube convention.
And
just, yeah. We don't do it anymore.
So then we're like, oh my gosh, David Beckham. And then coming up right behind him, joining him, Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Tom Cruise. Love me some Tom. Yes. Fuck yeah. Just,
yeah. He was just enjoying it all.
Oh, that's cool.
And then next to them, oh, who do we see? We saw Anya Taylor-Joy, you know, Miss Queen's Gambit girl.
Did you say hi to her?
We did. Actually, we did say hi to her because we're friends with her.
And we were roommates.
And then, oh, who else? Oh, the cat. I believe it was Cat's Eye, who was right behind us as well. You know, Cat's Eye?
Yeah, oh, wow. Yeah.
Pulled Cat's Eye because, like, I couldn't.
Cat's Eye.
Yep, Cat's Eye. They were all right there behind us. And that was pretty cool. Saw Jason Sudeikis, Katy Perry. Hilary Duff was in the house.
Yeah, pretty much like maybe most celebrities were probably
at this game. I mean, everybody and their mother was at the game. So
everybody pretty much that lives in the USA is probably at this game. That's a celebrity.
Katy Perry came out. She sang like kind of like a World Cup song with a little boy.
Oh, I saw the clip of the little boy. I really liked that. It kind of gave me chills for some reason. Like as soon as he started singing, I was like, he has such an interesting voice.
Yes,
like
it was a lovely little boy singing. And then, who sang the national anthem? Dan and Shay.
I still don't know which one is which, and I refuse to learn. Don't tell me.
No, I don't know. I learned for the first time it was two guys.
Wait, really?
I thought Dan and Shay were a guy and a girl.
Like a couple duo?
I guess I don't really listen to their music, but every time I've just in my zeitgeist of knowing Dan and Shay, I always thought it was like a guy and a girl.
I have no idea who Dan and Shay are.
I always think Dan and Shay were that couple on Vine and you never saw their faces and they would sing.
Oh my, Matt, I forgot about the Viners.
I thought that was like Dan and Shay.
I thought that's who you were talking about.
That's not them. It's not
duo,
them.
Like
and I think
duo?
That couple broke up like a long time ago. Yes, that couple on Vine. What was their name?
Singing couple on Vine. Brand deals. That was the first time you saw Big Money. Uh-huh. I can see a lot of fights happening. Back then, I could see it. Us the Duo.
That just rocked my world. Wow. I forgot about that.
Michael and Carissa. It's not Dan and Shay at all.
Right. But in my head, it was just they were Dan and Shay.
Honestly, like, Matt, it's crazy. It's crazy that I thought exactly the same thing. Honestly, any duo that's a couple, I just think of Us the Duo.
Damn, I forgot they existed. They were cute. I like those.
I didn't understand why did the FIFA sign point only one way. They couldn't make another one for the other way.
Great point, Zane. I think it's also like the press and the camera is being filmed on that angle. Like it doesn't switch.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get it.
So,
when you posted it, I was like, why the fuck did he post this backwards? And then it took me like a minute to look back. I was like, why would it be only there for the opening ceremony?
You know, because it's the same thing with like the Olympic rings and stuff or any type of like logo.
Did it stay there the whole time?
They took it up and all of that. And then the game started. I got to say, watching soccer in person is much better than watching it on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's kind of my least favorite sport to watch on TV because the angle's so wide.
So far.
The ball, the way it just like, it can go across the field so fast and it takes a while to like see some goals.
Which sport is the most fun to watch, you would say? On TV. On TV and in
person. On TV, probably football, but like in person, hockey for me.
Okay, I love hockey in person.
Hockey, yeah. Yeah. I can see why.
Hockey in person is another level.
And I feel like you're like on the ice. I feel like everybody is close to
you're in it.
To the rink, yeah. There's something about it.
Like the rhythm of football. Because there's time to like stop and think and it's like exciting. I like the pace of it. You're just like, oh shit, what's going to happen? Oh, they got to do this. It's possible that this can happen and the reward is so sweet. Basketball sometimes is too fast where it's like, oh, swish. Ah, okay, wait, it's still going. It's still going. We got to follow it over here. So I would say basketball or football.
The sport that like I always think about, like it always seems fun to me. And I think I feel like if I were to play a sport, this would be the most fun sport to play out of all of them. Is baseball. I feel like I would have so much fun playing baseball, but watching it in a stadium and also on TV, there's something so boring about watching it. It's like you're watching them have so much fun and you can't like have fun with them because it is a super fun game, I feel like, to play. there.
Yeah, like, baseball's way more fun to play than it is to watch.
Yeah.
I do love a baseball field in general. Like, I think there's magic. There's magic in the air at a baseball field. That's why there's so many, like, Angels in the Outfield, Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
There's, like, it's just this lovely stage. There's spirits. There's energy in a baseball stadium.
And it's honestly aesthetically very pleasing.
Yes. I do like baseball. I would hate to be a baseball player because they're playing games all the fucking time.
Oh, my gosh. Granted, what's their calendars are like, what, 200, 300 games? Isn't it something like outrageous?
162 regular season games. That's half the damn year. More, like, just about.
My back can handle that.
No, you're never going to see your kids.
It's worse than the military.
I know.
Like, military or a baseball player.
But I love drinking at a baseball game. If I'm going to go drink, I'll go to a baseball game because you kind of don't need to pay that much attention to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
We're pissing off a lot of people right now.
Hey,
a lot of fans.
All respect.
All respect to the baseball community.
Yeah, sorry.
But the soccer game, it was so electric and it was so cool just witnessing goals.
Yeah,
you know?
That's really cool. I'm really sick they got to go to that.
Goal! It was such a rush. It was 4-1, US won. It was the most goals I think ever scored by the United States in a World Cup and also in like a single game or maybe collectively for like one match.
Oh, okay.
Or for like
okay, so it was
run.
A lot of action. Good.
A lot of action.
Damn, a lot.
Nothing worse than when you go and there's like one goal for the whole game.
I know.
So yeah, I got to witness it. The most goals scored by a U.S. men's team in a single World Cup match is 4, and I got to witness
it.
So
that's sick.
Damn.
Cool. All right.
Look at this 2019 game. The U.S. women's national team scored 13.
Holy damn. Shit.
Wait, that's insane. That's insane. Crazy.
Against Thailand.
Dude, can you imagine by like the 7th goal, they're just like, we got this.
Call mercy.
Like being lost by 13 in a soccer game is... I would just quit.
I like the timing though of soccer too, where it's like 90 minutes and they're counting it, but there's like just one half, but like then they add time to it, but they stop the clock, but then they have this additional clock. But yeah. I like, you really see how much time's progressed and you know like when it's going to be over.
And I feel like those games can be long too. You're doing so much fucking running.
Oh, yes.
Cardio is crazy.
Cardio is insane.
I couldn't.
You never see a thick soccer player, you know? You never. I've never seen a thick soccer player. It's just impossible. You would literally burn it all off in one game.
It's a lot of running.
A professional soccer player runs an average of 6 to 8.5 miles during a standard 90-minute match. Come again?
They're running like a 10K every single match.
So they have to do a lot of practice and scrimmage of even just being able to last that long too, because you have to like, just to be able to you know, when people do like the half marathon, marathon, you have to run every day that length for a long, I'm sorry. Like you first start at 2 miles and 5 miles and 10 miles, and then you work your way up there. And then you have to run that a few times before you even do the marathon. Mm-hmm. So imagine how much these guys are fucking running just normally every day. Damn.
I love how it says goalkeepers run the least. Well,
Yeah.
All right, brief pause to give a shout out to our sponsor, Shopify. Have you ever tried buying something online only to spend more time at checkout than actual shopping? Logging in, forgotten passwords, entering all your info. Shiz is for the birds. And so 20th century. Then I saw that little purple pay button at checkout. Boom, one click and done, baby. So what are you waiting for? Start your own online store with Shopify using hundreds of ready-to-use templates designed to match your brand's style. It helps you work faster, too, with built-in AI that can write product descriptions, create page headlines, and even enhance product photos. Shopify also makes marketing simple, letting you launch email and social campaigns to reach customers wherever they're scrolling. Behind the scenes, it handles the heavy lifting with powerful tools for inventory, international shipping, returns, and more. And if people haven't heard of your brand yet, or you ever get stuck, Shopify helps you find new customers and offers award-winning 24/7 support. If I were to start online retail today, Shopify would for sure be my first pick. See less carts go abandoned and more sales go with Shopify and their Shop Pay button. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/unfiltered. Go to shopify.com/unfiltered one more time so you don't forget. That's shopify.com/unfiltered. Thank you, Shopify, for sponsoring this podcast. We love you.
Speaking of FIFA, though, I saw this guy make a post about, because apparently they covered all the branding for on all the stadiums because it wasn't like FIFA approved or they didn't pay FIFA, whatever, you know how it is. But I didn't think they would go as far as having to cover the name of the stadium. So if the stadium was like the the Dodger, you know, like the
like SoFi Stadium
or the T-Mobile Stadium, whatever.
Yeah. Right.
They cover the outside of the stadium with like a whole tarp.
That's kind
of
crazy.
Which is crazy because it's like, oh, they didn't pay FIFA, or which I didn't even know that was a thing. But
I didn't know that was a thing either.
Whenever they have a game in the FIFA tournament, they're covering it in a certain way with a tarp, just like that shape. And all these brands that are being covered, they're using that as their campaign strategy just to push it. Now everyone's talking about those brands that are covered, which I thought was genius.
Good move.
So good.
Who thought of that?
I love that. Like, so if you go to Levi's, that was the Levi's Stadium. Their Instagram logo on their picture is that. Genius.
So funny.
Would have never thought of that.
Love that.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
I like when people are clever with stuff like that.
Yeah.
Of course.
Very clever. Like, that's something where you feel like if someone came up with that idea, you'd be like, oh, I don't think that would, like, I don't get it. Like, I could see that, like, not being taken well in a meeting of, like, oh, what should we do? Like, campaign strategy. What? But then when you see it up, you're like, oh, that's awesome.
It works.
Gosh, there were some ritzy personalities, though,
at
the game. Because, you know, people are spending thousands of dollars for these tickets. It's probably when you go to a Super Bowl, you just see these, like, stockbroker type guys that just have, like, a tan and just, like, veneers and just, like,
Don't know a lick of soccer. Don't know a lick of the game. They're just,
and with,
like,
their wives, and they're just like, soccer, we're here. It was just like, oh, my gosh. But it was... I was very lucky to get to experience it.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Have you seen all the videos of all, like, the people from around the world that have come to America to watch these games? And they're, like, discovering what, like...
They're going to a Bucky's for the first time. And they're even going to, like, just, like, high school stadiums or even college football stadiums. They're like, this is the biggest stadium I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, like, someone was blown away. They took a picture of a Bucky's and they're like, what do you mean this is a gas station?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I did that too the first time I saw it. I think it was the one on our way. I forget where that big one is. That, like, I think
it still blows my mind that a Bucky's is a thing.
Yeah.
It should not be that big and have that much inside.
What's the big one that's, like, on our way to somewhere? Is it Vegas or?
To Vegas? The one that has the most pumps?
There's a Bucky's out at this side of the country.
It's not Bucky's.
I remember hitting it.
It's a Chevron.
Oh, it's a Chevron. It's just a really big one.
Is the one I'm talking about a Chevron?
Yeah.
The one on the way to Vegas is Chevron. Oh, but
that,
it has
that
most
one's
pumps.
Fucking massive. It looks like a mall in there.
I love their sodas at Bucky's. Their cherry limeade soda is really good.
Their strawberry.
Get the orange soda. It's amazing.
Heath.
Yeah.
You were just in France.
I was.
My dude.
Le Mans.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
I don't even know where to begin. It was the most insane experience I've ever had in my entire life. So being, like, obviously, like, a fan of, like, racing and, like, history of car races, like, this is the most iconic race. The 24-hour of Le Mans is the most iconic thing in motorsport history. It's the biggest race. 350,000 people in attendance.
Whoa.
Wait, bigger than F1?
Dude, huge.
Oh, why?
Is it because it's 24 hours that, like, some people come to watch it for, like, a couple hours and then they leave? So they get more bodies in there to witness it, or?
Also, the track is 8 miles long.
Holy shit.
Damn.
So this whole thing, imagine F1, but way bigger, and everybody is camping. So all around the entire track is people in tents, RVs, just fully camped out for, like, 4 days.
I can't imagine an RV in France.
And then on the inside, there's, like, a whole Ferris wheel and just, like, shopping and restaurants and stuff to do. Crazy. But, yeah, so I went to France for 5 days. We went with Cadillac. They invited me to come film and enjoy the race. And the most insane experience. Like, just, we got to camp in there, in the Hippodrome, inside of it, which is, like, the little horse track.
Whoa.
Where's that? I'm looking at the map right now. Like where were
in the
you?
Middle of it?
Because that's big. So you would see, like, RVs.
Dude,
you see where the trees are, Heath, in the map? Is that where, like, you'd see RVs all parked out there, like, camping?
Everywhere you looked was, like, tents and
Got
camping.
Got it. It's like Disney World.
Yes.
Things
it was
everywhere.
Crazy. So
oh, we're literally look, kid zone, relax zone.
I know it's like a dream for you to go to like one of these things out like internationally.
Just yeah. So we got to go to all of like the qualifying, the hyperpole, which is like where they figure out who is like the top people. And then from there it goes into like the placement of who gets to race. And then the next day they're, the race doesn't start until 4 p.m.
Okay.
And the reason it starts at 4 p.m. is because like 100 years ago, they would just party the night before and they would get so fucked up that it just happened. They just started at four because that's when like everybody was like, all right, fuck, I guess we'll just start now. So the reason it starts so late is because in the beginning the drivers were just getting crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. And then they couldn't start until four.
That's wild.
But I ended up, I didn't make the full 24 hours. I did. You were trying of the to 24.
Oh, you were trying.
I really wanted to
just for the, you know, for the experience.
Yeah, just to say we did it, but we were nonstop the whole time, just like we got access to like the pits. So we got to walk through, meet the drivers, hang out with like there was three Cadillac teams that were running.
Uh-huh. Were you able to take as close shots as you did when the NASCAR one? Were you able to go like by the drivers, take your photos? Like, remember like how close you got? Were you able to get that close?
Yeah. So, basically for where we were in the Cadillac pit lounge. So it is on top of the pit. So if you were in the lounge, you look over and they're doing the pit change below you.
Oh, nice.
So you have like an aerial view of it, but then they also let us go underneath during the pit change and like go through where all of the gear is. Got to see like behind the scenes of everything. The team that is in the background that you don't realize how many people make up like the whole team. There was a room full of computers with like maybe like 20 people working, looking at all the statistics of like the tire pressure, the fuel, doing projections for the 24 hours. Like, oh, if we run these tires at this speed for this long,
that's crazy.
We need to change drivers in 2 hours to swap it here to have this. And it was just the amount of effort and energy from everybody on board that goes into this and thinking ahead.
Why does that to me feel like somewhat cheating?
It's all strategy and like thinking ahead.
Like, oh, you get to have like an entire system of like,
you have for sports, you know, you have offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, you have like a whole coaching staff of people trying to like make sure you execute certain plays. So
do you know what I mean? I'm not like, it just like, when you just think about it, you're just like,
yeah,
oh.
Like the planning that goes into it is crazy. Also, yeah. I had no idea, but like the driver's doctor was in there that's monitoring like the levels of everything. And there's a syringe when they come into like pit and stuff, there's a syringe hooked up to a tube that has exactly what they need to make their body have the certain amount of potassium electrolytes. And they're changing it on the go from like monitoring it.
Whoa. So
they would run over, they would like hook it into like this tube, shoot the syringe in because dude, it's hot. Like,
yeah.
Their internal like body temperature, I forget what he said, but it like basically like goes up to like boiling or whatever.
That's literally what I need for this podcast. Whenever we're recording, I just need you to inject whatever it needs just to stabilize me.
You gotta stay cool.
Yeah.
And the amount of sweat, because they're in a full fire suit in the car.
Oh, yeah.
For so many hours at all time. There's
24 hours.
Wild.
So I know, you know, it's 24 hours. There's like three drivers per team. Yeah. Is each driver on each team driving the same amount of time, or can one like toss in its towel and be like, I got to sub out right now? Or like, is the rotation of the drivers all happening at the same time, or are they doing it on their own terms?
So that's part of the team on the back end, like seeing how the drivers are running and like, okay, this guy is doing really well right now. We need him to close us out for the 24 hours, because you can only run 4 hours max, one driver within a 6 hour window.
Oh.
So they're planning on the fly, like who's driving better, when they're expecting other drivers to be in on other teams.
So like they won't pull a guy off early because they know that, we really need these other drivers to go this many hours before we take him off.
There's so much that goes into it. It's crazy. I've been a fan of like the endurance racing, but being there and seeing behind the scenes, I had no idea. Just the respect that I have now for everybody involved is crazy.
Now, I know you don't drink, Heath, but, you know, for me who likes an ice cold beer, if an event is 24 hours, can I still get a beer at like 4 a.m? Or did alcohol sales stop at a certain time?
Oh,
I don't know about the times that it stopped, but you're not getting anything ice cold anywhere in France.
Oh, good point. It's always like that in Europe. Figure it out.
Yeah. You're getting a hot coffee.
No ice anywhere. And the one place we did find that had ice, you asked for like a Coke and you got one ice cube down in the glass.
Shit.
It's just not a thing there.
They don't need it cold.
Ice just, they just don't even think about it.
The people that were attending the event, was it a lot of like French people or was it very internationally represented? Yeah. There were people from all over the world attending it.
So basically like 50% of the people there were French. And then the other 50% were people that were all over Europe and like drove in.
Ah, yeah.
So a lot of people from like Britain were coming. There was people from Germany there. And I guess, you know, some people that fly in from other countries and stuff like that. But
you probably were getting a lot of like English speakers rolling around. Or maybe a lot of them in your like little section for Cadillac. Yeah. Was there anybody else you recognize or any friends that were in there also with you? Because I know they probably had like few influencers and few people, right?
Yeah, there was only 6 of us in total that were with Cadillac.
Oh, you were picked out of 6?
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, crazy.
All right.
I didn't know anybody that was there.
Who won?
The 24-hour race like is different because there's 3 different classes of cars that run. So there's the hypercar.
Okay.
Then there's the LMP2s. And then there's the LMP GT3 cars. So it's a cool race because they're all running together at the same time on the track.
Oh, at the same time.
Wait, so the different cars are racing at the same time? It's not like phase one, it's this car, phase two, it's this car. It can be your own strategy.
Well, it is kind of like F1, right?
Cars, what's that?
It is kind of like F1. You'll have the same team driving at the same time because don't they like help each other get to the front?
Like yeah, your teams track. Will run, you have multiple cars for your team, but there's also different types of cars. So you'll have like a Corvette also running with these hypercars in a different class.
Got it. Go up, Jared. Mm-hmm. What is that? Is that a truck?
That looks like
is
a hearse.
Is that a truck car?
Looks like a hearse.
Yeah, a hearse.
Put me on my way to the funeral. No,
there's the driver's in the back ready to like switch with you. Just. Man, I mean, honestly, wouldn't be surprised if that's the thing in the future, just to save time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's crazy. I've never seen a car like that.
But our Cadillac that was in the running ended up finishing in 4th place. But our Corvette team got first.
All right. Wow.
For the nice. GT3 class.
Congrats, Heath.
Oh, yeah. It was something special. It was crazy.
Before we continue, this episode is sponsored by Rocket Money. I feel like adult life is basically just death by 1,000 needless charges. A coffee, a convenience fee, a little impulse buy, another coffee. Because, you know, after your 20s, the first coffee just doesn't cut it anymore. And it all adds up fast. And we don't want to be spending more than we have to. And that's what I love about Rocket Money. Rocket Money can help you track your subscriptions and has the ability to cancel unwanted ones within the app with a few taps, saving users over 880 million in unwanted subscriptions. I also love that I can set budgets and goals, get personalized insights and regular reports. And I can also receive real-time alerts for large transactions, upcoming bills, refunds, and low balances. And get this, users who create a financial goal with Rocket Money save over $70 on average within the first 30 days. And if you're still not sure what Rocket Money is, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps you find and cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps to lower your bills so you can grow your savings. So let Rocket Money help you reach your financial goals faster. And you can join at rocketmoney.com/unfiltered. That's rocketmoney.com/unfiltered. One more time so you don't forget, that's rocketmoney.com/unfiltered. Thank you, Rocket Money, for sponsoring this podcast. We love you.
Speaking of I just saw Goodyear there. I also saw you just flew in a Goodyear blimp, which I'm surprised.
Dude, you got in a fucking blimp?
I'm surprised that you, like, did it.
I was a nervous wreck, like, leading up to it, getting ready to go on.
Yeah,
and then the takeoff. I was like, I have to do it, like, for the lore of being able to say that I've been on a Goodyear blimp.
Yeah.
Because there's only 4 in the world. Matt, there's 4.
That's crazy. Of Goodyear blimps.
One, Yes.
Okay.
25 just blimps in general.
Yeah.
Four of them are Goodyear blimps.
That propeller is way too close to the body of that thing. Look at that. The propeller, like, you just think I would go pop.
It's crazy. And I didn't know there was only four. I thought there was 25 Goodyear blimps left. I didn't know there was only four out of all the blimps that are
only
Goodyear.
Only four, and there's one in Europe.
Whoa.
What?
And you can't just go on it. You have to be invited.
Right.
That's crazy.
And so was it loud, like, being on it, or is it, like, so very quiet? I bet. That would just freak me out.
It felt like, so when we were sitting there getting ready to take off, so it's basically, what it feels like is you're neutral buoyant.
Yeah.
Like, your buoyancy is just neutral, and then the propellers will rotate. So they pointed it down, and during takeoff, it just and propelled us up.
Right.
And it was faster than I thought it was going to be. And then they just spun the propellers and then just took off.
How long were you up there for?
It flew by, but I think we were up there for about 30 minutes.
Okay. Now, were there snacks, drinks? Is there a bathroom?
You see that
up there?
The tiny little basket at the bottom?
Yeah.
That's all it is. And it felt like kind of like a airplane or a bus, but just really small.
Yeah.
Was there a bathroom?
No.
Shit. So yeah, you gotta go.
What's crazy? I saw, when did you go on the blimp? The day you went on the blimp?
Oh gosh, I think it might have been Sunday.
I saw your story and it confused me. So I was like, wait, who's on? I was like, oh my God, Heath is on a Goodyear blimp. That's insane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I went on one the next day.
Shut up.
You did?
Monday. You went on one Sunday? I didn't post it, but I went on one Monday.
Oh my God.
Way.
Yeah. They they went on one the very next day. So I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. Heath and I are doing a blimp in the fucking 2-day span. So
that's crazy.
One of the four you were on, and then I was on one of the other four here in Carson.
That's wild.
And how was your experience?
It was same. It was super smooth. I was surprised with how like, it was not like a helicopter. It wasn't like a plane. It was like smoother than any flight ride I've ever been on. But the rocking, you know, when you get to the top and they shut off the engine just to like start like just floating, the rocking was like, it felt like you're on a boat.
Ooh.
Like, it was like,
we didn't have any sort of, it might've been just like the wind out there where you went.
A little bit. I think the more wind it is, obviously the more rocking it is. We had a little bit of wind for sure, okay. But like not too much wind. But it was like, it still felt like super safe.
That's funny. Yeah, no, we didn't have any wind. Did your takeoff go like at a 45 degree angle?
Yeah, it was kind of sketchy. Yeah,
I felt like I was on like a torpedo.
But it was really cool though. It was really cool. They obviously, they DM'd me like 3 weeks ago, a month ago. And because I wanted to film a video on there, and we were supposed to go like 2-3 weeks ago. Didn't work out. We didn't have time. Enough time to plan because it was like happening so fast. So we moved it to Monday, and for the video that I did, they were just going to invite me on. They're like, hey, we have five other seats if you want to bring any friends. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, let me like, I'm trying to think of like, oh, okay. Cause I knew I was like, they probably wanted me to film something.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, should I just like bring like five other friends and I do a vlog? And I was like, I don't know, but it's like really cool to go on a blimp. But like, I also like was imagining like, I don't know if I'll just film a vlog of me on a blimp. Like, I couldn't think of it. And I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna perform an orchestra on the blimp. And instead of hiring five other people, that I hired a quartet to sit on the blimp.
Yes,
to sit in the blimp in the seats. They brought all their instruments and everything. And I performed in the air. And when I told blimp this idea, they were just like, no, we see the vision. We're just going to talk to our team. Let's see if that's, I was like, have you guys ever had a quartet? And they're like, no, we've never had a string performance.
You up went
a,
full Rosalia.
We've never had a string performance perform on a blimp. I was like, wait, is this the first one?
In She's the
like,
history yeah. of mankind.
In the history of just on a blimp. I was like, that's insane. I'm 100% going to do it now. Cause I want to be the first person
that is not
a string performer musical to be on a blimp and do it. And I did it.
What song did you sing?
I don't know the name because it's like hard to say. It's like Tuda Sant.
Okay.
Is it the one that we recorded?
Yes.
Nessun Dorma.
Yeah, no, oh, do I know it?
It's a very famous Pavarotti performance. Popular one. Heath, remember that one that I used in the 100th vlog?
Like Time to Say Goodbye by Andre Bocelli? Uh-huh. But it's like
Vicharo, Vicharo,
Vicharo. Oh, yeah.
I did that. And
Very nice. Honestly,
by the time this comes out, it'll probably be out. But I did that. It was fun. And cool. We did a whole like bit on the ground. I made it. That whole bit was like, I was like a big, famous opera singer, and I was arriving, and I had a bunch of like extras as fans all like there, just freaking out. And then I hired security to like drop me off in an SUV, and we walked up. It was just like supposed to be like
very ridiculous.
Right.
Will be posted by the time people see this episode.
Probably not. I don't know. I gotta edit it, but it'll probably be up by the time.
Oh, hell YouTube? Yeah.
No. Just on Instagram, like a reel.
Oh, a reel.
Yeah. Just a reel. But it was just like very silly. You're gonna watch it, be like, of course, nice. Zane did this stupid shit.
That's funny.
But yeah, it was so funny. We're up there, and the quartet, they were super nervous, but they were super excited because they're like, we've never been asked to do anything like this before. Yeah. Like, this is wild. And just seeing their faces, like, it was so insane to like see them all like chatting, because like as we're coming back after we were done filming, we're coming back, and I could see all them chatting. They're just like, they were chatting to each other, not me, but like low enough where they're just like, they were so proud of, they were like, I cannot believe we performed Up in a Blimp like this. Like we've marked like history, something like super, super cute. And it made me feel so warm. I was like, oh my God, that's
wow.
So obviously.
Were there other people with you on this blimp that weren't part of the group?
No. We had the whole,
you like, had the whole thing.
We had the blimp to ourselves. So that's why we're able to do that. It was the quartet. It was me and then the filmer. And the other two were the pilots. So they're just like watching this. It was really fun. I had suction cups in there, just like getting every angle. And I want to get it done as fast as possible, because like I was as nervous as the quartet people. I looked at it, I was like, hey, look, I'm a little nervous too. Let's get this done quick. So we're up and down. The fastest we can do is 30 minutes. Let's hit 30 minutes, because I want to be down on the ground as soon as we're done. And we got it done in like 45 minutes.
Oh, amazing.
Did you stick your head out the window?
I did not, but man,
they let you do that?
The windows are so big where you're able to like open it and let the air come through, because you're not like
Matt,
high enough.
It was crazy.
Oh yeah, and I just would think like pressure, so but I guess
fresh.
It's like still.
No, yeah. It's the best air I think I've ever
felt
gotten.
So good.
Oh man, it was a cool too.
I was nervous. They were all like, you got to stick your head out, because we had multiple windows. So I had my camera and I was taking pictures and videos through the window.
Yeah.
And then they were like, no, you have to put your head out. So we stuck our head out and was just looking down.
Oh my God.
Oh no, I wouldn't have liked that.
And then mm-hmm. I had my phone, and I stuck my phone out the window like this. Yeah. And I was like, please just don't drop it.
I know. My intrusive thoughts would just be like,
but like, how scary? Can you imagine just like dropping your phone? You're like, where is it going to land?
That's
who
it.
Is it going to land on? Right. I'm fucked. Like just that like stress as soon as you drop it, like, oh my God, I could be in jail at some point.
If it lands on the track, causes a wreck. I'm like,
scary. But that's really cool that we got to ride on one, like in separate world, separate regions.
Yeah.
That's so
and
sick.
And you were a date. That's crazy.
That is so dope.
That's sick.
Wasn't it huge though? Like the blimp itself?
Heath, it was so much bigger than I thought. When we're driving in, I was like,
massive.
And it was this weird thing, is I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this. I had this blimp to myself, and I felt so like blessed in that moment, because I was like, you can't just ride it. Like you can't, I mean, I'm sure you could spend a lot of money to ride it if you really wanted to, but like, it was so crazy. Like I definitely had like imposter syndrome at this point.
Yes,
I was like, I just can't believe I have this like opportunity to like film a whole video. And it's like my blimp for the next 45 minutes. It was so weird feeling.
Did you go on the one that had the bucket in the center or more towards the front? Because there's two different sized ones.
Oh, it was more to the front.
Holy shit.
Okay, yeah,
shit.
So you went on the same one as me. Did it say Zeppelin on the roof?
No, mine just said Goodyear.
No, inside the cabin, did you look up?
Oh, fuck, I don't know. I didn't look up. I was stressed the fuck out. You know how I am when I'm doing shoots like this. I couldn't think of anything. I couldn't even. Dude, I honestly don't even remember being up in the air. Like, it was just such
it like, felt
like
a dream.
Because we were just like, as soon as we started, as soon as we were able to take our seatbelts off, and my head was like, Zane, just focus.
It's
like,
go
get
time.
This done. You have to now worry about a whole quartet that needs to all like mm-hmm. be synchronized. They can barely hear because they have to play the music that was created,
yeah.
the version. So they could barely hear it. They're like, I could see them like trying kind of hear it and we'd have to redo sometimes. And I was just like, let's just get this done. And we got it done. So like it was, this, it was crazy. It was
this
crazy.
This thing is massive.
Matt, look how big the one we did. The one on the top is the one we were on.
It's big. It was more massive. Than 80
Holy
yards.
Shit.
Massive.
Huge.
Much bigger than we thought. It was wild.
Wow. How do you even become a blimp pilot if there's so little out there?
Yeah.
How do you get into that position? I would have had so many questions.
How
for
do
the
you
pilot.
Even become like, whereas like, I want to be a blimp pilot. You
so
know what
it
mean?
Says to become a blimp pilot, you generally need to be hired by an operating company like Goodyear, which provides in-house training for an airship rating. Okay. But that has to be so competitive then. But like you have to have your commercial pilot license. Okay. And you have to have a minimum of, you know, over 1,000 hours.
And you know what? Those pilots, they were, I've never seen any pilots like that. Pilots like that. They seemed like they worked in the military, like in the Air Force for fucking years. Like they were just so fucking locked in. It was a girl and a guy. And I don't know. I just felt like they had the most years
did
of experience in
the
air.
Control
to
panel
me.
To me it just feels like it's probably something out of Dr. Seuss.
No, it was
like
beautiful.
Like a bunch of like doohickeys.
It was
like
it was actually, it was so pretty. That whole inside of the blimp was actually really, really like pretty. Like it was really beautiful. Like right there. That's what it looked like.
Oh, okay. So it does
it
look
really
complex.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay. I just was thinking like it was just ultra simplistic.
To me it didn't look that complex. It just looked like an aircraft. Like, yeah. You know, but it was really nice. Like they did a good job with it.
Fuck yeah.
Honestly, I could do it again. It was like very, it was not scary.
Did they,
at all.
Did they give you a little certificate card?
No.
Ooh.
Oh.
What certificate card?
I didn't get one either then.
Shut up. No, what is it? Wait, does it have to do with Cadillac or was it like a Goodyear blimp certificate?
No, it was a Goodyear flight certificate that said my name and it was signed by the pilots as like proof that you've been on the Goodyear blimp.
Oh, that's badass.
Yeah, I have one of those.
Damn, Dane.
You didn't get that?
You know,
maybe
like,
you did.
Also, you know who would have really liked one too? The Quartet people.
Yeah.
They were so excited. They were like, they were really excited to be, all right, I'm gonna hit them up. I think we can get that.
Yeah, for sure.
Unless it has to be in person. That's like the rule. If you forget, that's it. No, you can't.
You only get it on day of flight.
Yeah, and you can't go right again because that's not considered the first time. No, you just don't have a certificate anymore. All right, I'll ask them. I want to hang it up. I want to like frame it.
Yeah, the blimp was definitely a highlight of the trip. That's for sure.
Before we continue, this episode is brought to you by SeatGeek. Are you and your friend group running out of fun things to do? Not really interested in going mini golfing or bowling again? I don't blame you. Handling oily balls and sticking my fingers in some dirty holes 1,000 others have been isn't my idea of fun either. So when I'm fresh out of ideas, that's when I fire up my SeatGeek app. SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app for a reason. They've got tons of options like concerts, sports, festivals, with over 70,000 events listed. There's always something for everyone, and there's so many stars going on tour right now, artists like Noah Kahan, Thomas Rhett, Rufus DeSoul, and many more. I love that SeatGeek makes it easy to feel confident in my decision. Every ticket gets a score from 1 to 10, so I can quickly spot the best value. And every ticket is backed by the buyer guarantee, and if that doesn't convince you to try it, maybe the fact that they've had 35 million downloads will. Concert season is about to kick off. To make it even better, you can use code UNFILTER2026 for 10% off your SeatGeek tickets. That's 10% off tickets with promo code UNFILTER2026. Make sure to click the link in the description to download the app and have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. Thank you, SeatGeek, for sponsoring today's episode. We love you.
Speaking of aviation, though, it's a bit of a sad note.
Oh, my. I know.
Yeah.
I'm, like, so shook up about Oliver Tree.
I saw you guys texting about it. So it was on the bus back to Paris when you told me about the news. Like, I was almost back to the airport to leave. And I sat there in silence for the entire bus ride. I was just like, I still don't believe it.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Like, and I'm
pardon
me for
shock.
Texting you guys just out of the blue, Oliver Tree.
I mean,
dead.
I feel like that's just normal. It's like, it's just like if someone like that's so talented and, you know, someone that we all know. Someone we've all seen, like I've seen this guy like quite a few times in person.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He used to work out at the gym a lot, and when you see someone in person, even once, I think it just like hits different. It's just like it doesn't feel real.
Oh no! And at first, so like sad. Yeah, when I saw like this screenshot, like you know the Google screenshot where it says they're dead, I was like, this is not true. Like, mm-hmm. Or because he was all big about like just stunts and doing the most like, crazy stuff.
He does, like,
so I was
jokes.
Just like, this is not. This isn't true. I was so in denial about it. And no, it's just, yeah, it's really sad. And he was about to do his whole world tour.
Yeah.
It was the biggest world tour ever. Like every continent he was going to be performing on.
Like, it was like, and he, it looked like something really exciting for him that like, he looked like he really planned out. He was super like looking forward to, had this whole leg of the tour. And it's just like, it was almost his birthday too. I just felt like he was just on such a high.
And also the other content creators that were with him, and even the pilots on the crash, like, yeah, you know, it's like, heart goes out to like everyone and all of their families. It's just, oh, it's just scary. It's fucking freaky. Yeah. And just like shit like that happens. And it's wild and but beautiful. Like right now, he's the most listened artist across the world right now.
Oh,
it is
really?
Weird. Like when you die, like your stuff still lives on and even gets like more recognition than it did when you're alive. And I'm not saying that's a good thing, but it's, there's beauty in that, I guess.
Like, he said that he was saying that in a because it was obviously all his content was being shared, him on podcast talking about it, and one of the clips was him talking about how it's crazy how when artists die, they like the amount of people that like find them, like new listeners, is like 10x's. And he was even saying like, when I die, like I know that nobody that knows me and nobody that will ever listen to me will listen to my stuff. And it was just so eerie, like hearing that. I'm like, I feel like the whole world now knows Oliver Tree. Like now, when I feel like he was such a niche, like musician and artist,
just such an inspiration for all kids that are into the arts,
that are weird and funky, and
just not being afraid to be themselves.
Yeah,
like,
he marched to the beat of his own drum. You know.
Yeah,
we lost a good one for sure.
For sure. So, R.I.P. Oliver Tree.
R.I.P. Rest in peace, bud.
And then, did we watch that documentary?
Yes.
Maternal Instinct.
Oh my God, Matt. Why did they need to put out something so fucking traumatizing on Netflix? It was, I've seen a lot of horror movies. I've seen many horror movies of different horror genres. I've seen it all. Nothing has come close.
This takes the cake out of like true crime.
No, it wasn't a movie. It was a documentary
that Netflix put out.
Matt or Heath, whenever you have the time, actually, honestly, you know what? I mean,
we'll give you the skinny of what went down.
Story?
Yes,
it's
it happened out like in Texas. You're like Texarkana. This girl, what's her name? Taylor Parker.
Yeah.
So like the beginning of the documentary opens up and it's police camp footage.
Tell me a little bit, but don't tell me too much.
Okay.
This is
the first 5 minutes of the documentary. So a woman is speeding and the woman who's driving is on the phone and it's recorded with like the emergency dispatch. And she's like, you know, there's a cop who's on my tail, but I just gave birth to a baby. So I'm trying to get to a hospital. The cop pulls her over and she like has this baby umbilical cord like severed in her, you know, lap. And she's like, the baby's not breathing. I'm trying to get to the hospital. Please, please, please. I just need to get there. And they're like, all right, ma'am, calm down. We're going to get you to the hospital, blah, blah. And ambulance comes. They take her to the hospital and they're like, something doesn't add up. This woman does not seem like she has given birth. She's refusing to let us check her to make sure she's not hemorrhaging down below. And they even get, you know, a full OBGYN, like certified doctor to come in. And he's like, ma'am, I got to check. And he looks at the cops like on the body cam footage and goes, that woman did not have a baby. That baby's not her.
Where did this baby come from?
So that's kind of the beginning of the documentary. And then it goes way back into just this girl, her life, and how she found this guy who was a rancher.
I just got chills again thinking about that.
Same. I just got goosebumps.
It's the most insane documentary I've ever seen. And the thing is that because it has to do with a baby, that's why I was like, oh, maybe don't watch it. I feel like it's like, because I... But it is.
I went in so fucking blind to this and I took a weed gummy and so the first half I'm laughing my ass off because this girl, they dive into her life, how she was just kind of this compulsive liar with friends and stuff, really obsessing over whenever her friends got pregnant and everything. She also She had two kids already when she was younger.
Yeah.
And then she marries this new guy, thinks she's pregnant. Says she has,
now you're going sonograms. You're going too far into that. Well, I mean, well, I guess we can.
But I'll tell this. So she's pregnant, Heath. Pregnant. Tell all of her friends. Posting pics of her with her belly. Oh, her belly's moving. All of this stuff. But meanwhile, her true friends who know her from way, way back are like, she can't have kids. She had a hysterectomy.
But she's pregnant, Heath.
But she's pregnant. So she's posting all the social media and then the whole thing fucking unfolds.
Oh my, but
I'll watch it.
It's insane.
Okay.
And
After watching that, I was texting Jared and I was like, this has genuinely brought me trust issues. Like serious trust. Like I, cause you know, I'm so open, but watching something like this, I was like, you truly don't know everybody. Mm-mm. You truly don't
at all.
You truly don't.
Dude, the way my jaw hit the floor, cause that hysterectomy part comes in like the first 20 minutes or something. That's kind of like the end of the first act. Like that was the first time I was laying on my bed. I sat up and I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like I screamed.
Yep.
Cause I was just like, oh, this took a way crazier turn already. Okay,
but we'll stop there. Heath, your homework.
I'll watch it.
Watch it.
Yep.
And then we'll dive deeper into it.
Oh, I got it.
But man, Heath, just get ready.
And shout out to the person either on like Patreon or Facebook. I can't remember where I saw the comment, but it was after we talked about the crash last week. And they were like, oh, if you like that, you have to watch Maternal Instinct.
Banger.
And then that I saw that and I was like, you know what? I'll give it a watch. Went in totally blind. And then I texted you guys. I was like, you have to watch this.
Yeah, because I was just giggling so hard for the first half. And Patricia, she knew more about this case. And she's like, Matt, you have no clue what's coming. Because I'm just laughing over just someone faking a pregnancy.
Yeah,
like, it's just someone who's just like,
I feel like I know someone. I know a couple of people in my life that like has either done shit like this or would do something like this. That's why I was laughing at this lady, because in my head I was like
just wanting like the attention, and
it's like it's common, people do act like this, but maybe it's darker. Maybe these people that act like this that you know in real life, maybe they do have that, like they something. Could do something like that. They just need to be taken there, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, Heath, watch it, come back. Okay. everybody also watching and listening, watch it, come back, we'll get into it.
Oh, you know what movie I saw? Michael.
Oh,
how was it?
What'd you think?
I 3.5 out of 5 stars in my book, because I felt like the movie could have been like stylized a little bit better. Like it didn't have like a, I don't know, amazing cinematic grit. I don't think like it, maybe it could be nominated for some Oscars, but his nephew did a really good job.
Oh,
and
killed
I think it really, Michael Jackson, I didn't realize how much of a visionary he was to his own work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, especially leaving the Jackson 5 and being in this place where it's like, I need to reinvent myself, and coming from the abuse of his father and being made fun of for his looks. And yes, he was altered his, you know, persona in so many ways, but the vision he had for like the Thriller album and him believing himself and manifesting all that was really beautiful to see.
Yeah.
It was I was very inspired by it.
Sorry to take that and completely flip it. Did you watch the documentary of him on Netflix?
The Verdict or whatever. Michael Jackson.
Have you ever seen that? Okay. So
Zane and I, when Zane was here, we watched like a little bit of the first episode.
I fell asleep, but I went home and I actually watched it a few days ago.
You did?
Yeah. I finished it. First of all, like I really appreciate documentaries that come out over like when someone makes a documentary about something that was huge from back then when I was younger. I never really look into stuff like, you know, we obviously all heard the allegations. I never looked into it just because I was so young at the time and I didn't really know him. I just know his music is popular and it's still very popular now and people like really love him still. So I just always like thought of it as, oh, it was probably just a conspiracy or people were just like making up lies, whatever. I watched the documentary and I was like, I was genuinely shocked.
In what way?
I know when you watch documentaries, it's heavily skewed. Like, you know, people like obviously whoever makes a documentary, if they are against or for someone, they will make the documentary based on their views on the person. We know that. But I mean, they were putting evidence. They were putting footage of different like. And
which side does it lean to, that he's innocent or guilty?
No, that he's guilty. I mean, the way I saw it, the way it was like edited, I'm pretty sure it was framed that way. And man, I think you need to look. I don't know. But this documentary, I'm looking at him in a different light.
Oh, interesting.
You should watch it. It was really, cause if this was happening now, no way.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like if he was alive today, there's no fucking way that would have cried. And that whole jury would have never put him as not guilty.
The thing is, I want to see an unbiased documentary about it, because like you said, the movie is very pro Michael. This, I haven't seen this, but I've seen several clips of people not debunking this series or this documentary, but they like took a clip that they put in the documentary, and they're like, well, here's the context of the whole clip. And then they show the whole clip.
Yeah.
And it makes it seem so much more innocent than the 5 seconds that's in the documentary or something. Yeah. And so I just want a full, unbiased compilation of all of it, so, you know, to really tell the full story.
What really? So there's one piece of footage that really just like, it just hit me. I was like, that's really interesting, is when they showed that footage of that kid that was being interviewed by the police.
Mm-hmm.
The way he was talking about it, I was like, kids can't lie like that.
Okay.
It's like really, like, just again, I'm not like a, but I was watching it and
that
I'm was, watching this and I'm like,
did touch the children.
You have to watch that footage.
I believe he did have like a very, I believe he, Michael Jackson, had a very inappropriate relationship with children. I believe like, yeah. That was like, granted, I don't know. Shame on the parents though, for like letting their children hang out one-on-one.
I think it was like all around, just like, I think the only victims in the entire thing was the children, because the parents. Yeah, there was like this, because of who he was and how big he was, there, it was just like a blanket, like they couldn't see past
right
that it was, this was an icon, because he was the most famous celebrity in the world. And it's like, you know, your brain just fucking doesn't work anymore when like Michael Jackson's like, have your kids come to the Neverland Ranch. It's like, absolutely.
And they're just excited that they get to have their kids go to the
Michael
Jackson Ranch.
And sleeping there is like, so yeah, it's just inappropriate.
Completely. Oh, I gotta check it out.
Yeah, yeah. No, I would love for everybody. Did you watch the full thing yet?
No, I just watched that little bit when you were here, but like him sitting there with the kid talking about him sleeping in his bed.
Yeah.
And like acting like there was nothing like weird about it. Yeah.
But just, you guys should watch it. I really want to hear your thoughts. Me, I can see past defaming, like bad documentaries, like, or like one-sided documentaries. I'm able to look past it. When you see footage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I'll check it out.
When kids are talking to officials, I don't think that kid was an actor. It's like, he wasn't like this kid actor. That's not what they mentioned in the documentary, or unless they hit it. But when you're watching him talk about that type of shit, it's dark, and it's pretty tough to lie about that, I think, when you're a kid.
It is interesting. Like the Michael movie ends at, I forget, it's like right after the Jackson like final tour or something like that. And it just ends on like a black screen, and it's like his story continues.
Yes.
They filmed the whole like rest of his story.
Oh, they've already shot it?
Well, they shot it and then they had to take it out because of like some deals in these like verdicts and like plea deals or something like that with these court cases.
Wait, sorry. I'm sorry. What were you, like the first thing you said? Are you talking about the movie or
the
about
movie. The movie?
Michael, oh, got it. Okay. Michael, the movie. The whole second half of it was taken out because there were deals with like the court cases in which like that can't be portrayed on screen.
And
like, even though it's it's biographical, it's like, it can't be fictionalized or sensationalized
it's victims,
or something.
And exactly. If you paint a whole different picture than what the victims go through, like there can be serious legal trouble with that.
Like, I think they filmed all of that, but then when they went to like review it during the editing process, they legally had to take all that out. That's why it kind of, the movie ends pretty abruptly, and it just says like his story.
So there's
continues.
Not going to be a second one?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's just
legally,
like,
I don't think they can.
And I'm surprised this documentary didn't go into the death at all.
Oh, really?
Not even a sliver of it. The only, it ends with like a black screen, you know, talking about, they'll end with a black screen and kind of like give you like a ending of what happens. They just mention, he died 4 years later after the not guilty sentence. And I thought they would go into that, because I thought that whole thing was really weird too.
Yeah.
Because death, wasn't that like a whole thing?
Oh, that was
where people, or was that just sad?
Oh, it was just sad. But there was like a big court case with the person who was like administering him anesthesia just so he could sleep.
Okay, okay.
Was doing things that he should not have been doing as a doctor. And so, yeah, he was convicted of manslaughter in 2011. I remember the day he died. I was doing P90X. I was doing P90X and my mom's friend called me and she's like, can you turn on the TV and see if Michael Jackson died? I'm like, what?
And you had to keep the TV running. So you had to keep the wheels
like,
turning.
Yeah, me doing the ab ripper. Just like, oh no.
Oh, sorry. I thought like you were mentioning P90X.
No,
like
P90X, not a Peloton. No, oh, like sorry, the Tony sorry. Horton workout.
But then again, like I personally, I don't have like any thoughts on Michael Jackson, and I'm sorry if I offended everybody because I know that he's like, it's like a Taylor Swift. I feel like just like there's so many fans, like the fans are crazy
right.
about Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. I just, it's just, it's so crazy. It's such a interesting man. Like there's nobody like him.
I know. Mm-hmm. It's
like he
wild.
Was literally like a cartoon character, like everything he did with his features.
He was an enigma.
Like, yeah. It was just like, he's just different. And it's so like, it's just like tough. Like I feel like his brain needed to be studied. I feel like after.
I seriously.
You know what I mean? Just yeah. like.
I just want to know the truth behind if he really like, if the high voice was his real speaking voice. Have you like heard of that? Not conspiracy, but that thing where like people kind of close to him at that time were like, oh yeah, Michael Jackson, like his actual speaking voice was really deep. And like you would. Use it sometimes if you like yeah. needed to be serious or something.
I've seen clips of that. We're like, yeah, you can catch him like laughing or like having yeah. a little line here and there, and he sounds like not his like voice that he gave out to the world.
Yeah, I wonder. So I wonder what's the like why people do that or why artists will do that? Just like really just change their voice even if they're forcing it all the time, like mm-hmm. and it's not natural.
What I've heard is that he spoke that high in order to maintain a high register for his singing
the whole
voice.
Time got yeah. it okay
oh
yeah
it just helped him stay high
yeah
when he's performing makes sense because if he had a deep voice I don't think it would sound
no
anywhere near
no yeah
that good it, like that Michael. Was like the that was
I thought
like
it was
the
to
magic
be,
behind it
easier to talk to children
Heath
you get Heath? To talk to kids
you're gonna
like
look at me and tell me that I'm wrong voice.
I don't know. It's just a little bit more approachable.
And you know, even like when I watched Scary Movie 3, remember Scary Movie 3 when they did that, had a whole character, like a Michael Jackson character in it?
Yes.
I still didn't even really know. Like, I just thought that character was funny in the movie. It didn't, like, when the first time I saw that, I didn't even really register the two.
Like, put it together?
Yeah.
We all have a lot of homework to get done.
We do. Wow. This is the most homework I think we've ever had. After an episode. But all right, guys, thank you so much for tuning into another episode. You can check out these episodes every Monday audio form on all podcast platforms and every Tuesday video form on youtube.com/ZaneAndHeath.
Also, make sure to check out the Patreon, patreon.com/ZaneAndHeath. We keep these cameras rolling and you get an extended cut of every single podcast episode. You get early access, ad-free, and you get a bonus episode, a live Q&A every single month. Again, it's on patreon.com/ZaneAndHeath if you want to check it out.
Beautiful. Cousins, you know where we'll be. Stay on for the next 5 seconds. Peace and blessings, cuz.
Toodles.
See ya.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. Social
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.